Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with gratitude. Now, abounding is a pretty strong word, but so is gratitude. You know, abounding carries with it the idea of plenty. If you're in Colossians 2 and your Bible doesn't say abounding, it probably says overflowing, which again carries with it the idea of plenty. And we think about plenty a lot around Thanksgiving for obvious reasons. Even on the table, kind of the symbol of the whole thing, right, is the cornucopia, right? That whole idea, that horn that's filled with the harvest, that's overflowing with the harvest. Plenty. And the Bible says that you should have so much gratitude that you can't contain it. So much gratitude that it doesn't fit and it has to come out, that it's overflowing, that we believers should be abounding in gratitude. Now, gratitude is an interesting concept. It's an interesting state of being, especially in our culture. Now, one writer says this about gratitude. There's something odd about thankfulness. It seldom seems to fit the situation. In our society of high expectations and instant gratification, people who are thankful for the good things in life seem rather quaint, naive, sweet, sentimental. Thankfulness seems like a mindset for people whose lives revolve around politeness and thank you notes. It's an even tougher sell when we think about being thankful in the midst of painful circumstances. Then the encouragement to seem thankful seems insensitive, even cruel. Now, some of this perception of gratitude, of thankfulness, comes from the fact that we live in a culture where people are ungrateful. That we live in a culture where people are just discontent. And so they see the opposite of contentment, of their discontent, and they see it as childish almost, as silly. But some of this perception comes from a misunderstanding of what gratitude even is. Gratitude is not an emotion. Gratitude is a state of being. Thankfulness surpasses emotions just like other states of being surpass emotion. For example, I'll just use another state of being that's very far away from gratitude, but is a great example because we understand it. Take bitterness. That's a state of being. And you know, if you're a bitter person, you can be a happy bitter person, or you can be a sad bitter person. You know, when you're really bitter, you can be really happy when you see the person you're bitter against going through some hard stuff, right? You could just be having a great day, like, yeah, they're getting what they deserve, and you're all happy the world's right, and they're suffering, yay. And your bitter heart is happy. Or you can be a bitter person and be really sad because you see that person, and they're over there, and their life's going good, and why is it going better than my life, and why are they thriving, and I'm not thriving, and you just become sad in your bitterness. But you see, whether happy or sad, the heart's the same, the state of being is the same, you're bitter. And gratitude's a lot like that. You can be happy and be grateful, and you can be sad and still be grateful. It's a state of being. The Bible is not calling believers to some sort of unauthentic experience of overflowing with happiness, where just no matter what, we're happy. That's not authentic. That's not real. The Bible is calling believers to an authentic state of overflowing with gratitude. But that just keeps, I keep talking about gratitude, but we don't really know what it is yet. We haven't defined it. We all kind of feel like we know what gratitude is. We all been grateful before, so we all kind of know what that feeling is. But again, that's the feeling that we're talking about. What is the state of being of gratitude? What does it mean to be thankful? If you read the Bible, I think if you follow all the times it talks about it, you'll come up with a definition like this. Gratefulness or thankfulness is a state of recognition that we have not done everything for ourselves, but that we depend on others, especially God, and need to appreciate them for what they have done for us. So believers, we are to be abounding in a state that recognizes that we have not done everything for ourselves, but that we depend on God and that we should appreciate him for everything that he has done for us. That is what we are to be abounding in. So I just want to ask you honestly this morning, how are you doing? Is it overflowing? Praise the Lord. You know, one of the reasons why we wanted to do this series in the fall was because of this verse. We wanted to see people established in the faith, and then because of that, overflowing with gratitude. And really, we want to end this series right here, asking, is being established in the faith helping you to overflow with gratitude? Is remembering everything that God has done for you, is it pushing you towards a heart that's overflowing with gratitude? And just think about it right now in your life. Are you just a cornucopia of gratitude? Is it just spilling out all over the place? Or are you running low? Or are you on empty right now? Where are you at? And when you start to think about it, there are some things in our lives that can stop up gratitude, that can impede the flow, that can dam up the gratitude that should be overflowing from our hearts. There are some things that can hinder it. And even if you are overflowing already, it's good for you to be aware of what can hinder it so you can be on guard against it. Right? We should know, there's things that could stop up our gratitude that we should be overflowing with that could steal that from us. And we don't want it stolen from us, so we should be aware of what can hinder it. And if you are running low on gratitude, it might be one of these things that is hindering it. So I just want to talk about a few of them right now. This morning, we're going to look at four hindrances to gratitude, and then we're going to look at how you can kick down that dam and let gratitude overflow your heart. So let's get into it. The first hindrance to gratitude. Seems real obvious, but let's talk about it. It's thinking that you have done everything for yourself. Now, of course, this obviously would get in the way of gratitude because gratitude starts with the recognition that you haven't done everything for yourself. So this is a huge block. Once this comes, it stops you up. And it seems like, of course, nobody believes that. But if we're honest, there are times that we might be tempted to think this way. We might think that we have what we have because we made it happen. We did it for ourselves. Nobody did it for us. We're where we are because we made it there. That is completely contrary to the state of being of gratitude, though. And we have a great example of that in our Bibles. It's amazing who God uses as examples sometimes just to teach us normal people lessons. God raises up this man to become pretty much the king of the known world in a big way. His name's Nebuchadnezzar. He's the leader of the second great empire in all of history, in the Near East at least. And he's got all the power. I mean, nobody says anything contrary to what he says. He does what he does, and nobody can stop him. And one day, we read in Daniel chapter 4, he's walking around the royal palace. And listen to what it says. He was walking about the royal palace, and the king spoke, saying, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." And that very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of that time, now Nebuchadnezzar starts to write, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At that same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and my splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me, and I was restored to my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." And there we have the Bible's name for this blockage, for this dam to gratefulness. It's called pride. And pride is a great block to our hearts being truly grateful for what God has done. If you have pride in your heart like this, it's going to hinder your gratitude. So if you see it sneaking in, check it. But if it's there, oh, we're going to have to talk about what to do about it. And pride seems like the exact opposite, but it's just the other side of the coin of the second hindrance to gratefulness, and that's thinking that you cannot depend on anyone. You know, some people recognize that they're not in control. They realize that they can't do everything for themselves, but they think that there's no one that they can depend on. I mean, think about it. All the people who have the control and have the power are not reliable, and they don't care about my interests. My boss, the government, the stock market, none of them care about me, and all of them I depend on. This feeling that you have no one you can depend on, it's antithetical to gratitude. It works right against it. And Jesus actually talks about this in Luke chapter 12 when he says to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add 1 inch to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat, nor what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. We see the Bible's name for this impediment to gratitude is worry. Worry makes us act like unloved creatures. We act like creatures who don't know the love that God has towards us. We act like creatures who don't know his care for us. Like there's no one we can depend on. And worry will dam up your gratitude. And it might be what's blocking it in your life. Pride, worry, those are dangerous. And I feel like the next one is even worse, though. Because the next one says, yeah, I can't do everything for myself. And yes, I depend on people, but I also deserve that they give it to me. That's a whole nother type of impediment. That one comes in and it will block you up and you won't even be able to see it. Because you don't say it that clearly. You know, you would never come out and straight out say that. Well, that's God's job. That's what he's supposed to do. Or I deserve it. God owes it to me. Because you've learned enough to know not to use those words in sort of, you know, church words. That doesn't work. So Jesus, he likes to tell stories when we can hide behind our church words to show us what's really in our hearts. And in Luke 15, he tells a story to show us this attitude that can be in our hearts. He tells a story about two sons. I feel bad for this dad because he has two of the worst sons that you'll ever read about. Tells a story about two sons, a younger one and an older one. And the younger son, he talks to the father and he says to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Dad, give me my inheritance. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now think about this boy. He knew he didn't earn that stuff, that his dad earned it. He knew that he depended on his dad for it. He knew to even ask his dad for it. But he didn't appreciate his dad at all for any of it. He took everything his dad gave him, and he ran away from his dad and lived however he wanted with it. That sort of selfishness, that level of selfishness, is dangerous. And that can get in the way of gratitude. If you want God's gifts, but you don't want him, that can stop up gratitude. But then we see his older boy. You know, the younger son realizes he's wrong, realizes his dad was good, misses his dad, wants to go back and be with his dad. And he does. He goes back, humbles himself, and goes back to be with his dad. And when he comes back, the dad's full of joy. The servants are full of joy. Everybody's having a big party. But the older son hears about it. And this is what Jesus says about him. But he was angry and would not go in. He just sat outside the party, staring at the door. Just mad. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been with you, serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me even a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Oh, he's just indignant. How could you, Dad? What is that? What's in his heart? Well, we see that he is just like his little brother. He doesn't love his dad. He loves his dad's stuff. He doesn't want what his dad wants. He just wants his dad's stuff. And when dad doesn't handle the stuff the way he wants, he starts to grumble against dad. And he has complaints against dad. See, grumbling is just worldliness disguised. You know, worldliness is obvious. You grab God's gifts and you go out and do with them whatever you want. That's pretty obvious. Everybody sees it and goes, that's bad. That's worldly. But grumbling, that's just worldliness buried in our hearts, where we want to do what that little brother did. We want to take his stuff and do whatever we want with it, but we're going to hide it and not do that. And so when God doesn't give it to us, we grumble against him. Think of the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness and all the grumbling they did. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. Oh, I wish we were back in Egypt. God's sitting there blessing them, giving them gifts. They're eating manna. They have all these things from him, but they really don't want him. They just want more stuff. So they grumble and grumble. Whether it's worldliness or grumbling, that sort of selfishness will block you from a heart full of gratitude. You got to be careful about that. And the fourth block is one I think we should all be careful of personally, because I know that it sneaks into my heart and my life too. Because the fourth block says, no, I definitely did not do everything for myself, and I am definitely dependent, and I should appreciate. But the fourth block appreciates something or someone else instead of the source of your blessing. The fourth block, instead of giving glory to God, gives glory to something else or someone else. And I think of the rich man in Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 12 when I think of this. I think of him, his crops come in, and it's a good year. You know, his land yields to him plentifully, it says. He has so much stuff, his barns don't fit at all. And so he starts to make plans. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? You see, this man, he's grateful. It might not look like it to you, but look at what he says to his soul. He talks to his soul just like David does, right? David says to his soul, soul, remember all the blessings God gives you. And this man says to his soul, soul, think about all the good that the plentiful harvest will bring to your life. Think about how your wealth is going to make your life so much better. Soul, rest. Take comfort in all the goods you have, all the wealth you've accumulated. He's grateful to his stuff. The Bible calls that idolatry. Flat out, greed is idolatry. But oh man, Americans, Californians, people from the Bay Area, this is the air we breathe. Your stuff is where everything comes from. And if you have enough of it, you can just rest and be happy and you can thank your stuff for everything that it's given you. But then you're not giving glory to the one who deserves it. Because who made that man's harvest great? And who's provided for you really? I mean, he's given you life and breath and all things. He's worked things out so that you could even be able to go out there and work and live and gain. He could take that from you in an instant. You see, this man put his hope in his money, and he found out that money can't stop you from dying. Just like money can't buy you more love, or money can't bring you more hope, because money is a misplaced place for your faith. And I'm harping on money here, but it could be anything. Whatever it is, it could be another person. Whatever it is that you go, this is the thing that's going to bring me joy and happiness and hope in my life. Some people do it to their own kids, poor kids. Whatever it is, you're giving glory to the wrong place. Your gratitude's going in the wrong direction. And if your gratitude's going in the wrong direction, it's going to stop it up from going the right direction. It's a huge hindrance to giving thanks to God. So if we look at these four stoppages, if we look at these things that block the flow, these dams, how do we break them down? How do we get rid of them? If you notice that it's in your heart, it's not going to be just a decision. Oh, well, I'll stop doing that. That's not how it works. How do you actually have your heart change in your state of being towards God? How do you enter into the state of being of gratitude? Well, I think the verse that we looked at earlier tells us. You get established in the faith. You remember, first and foremost, gratitude comes from recognition. And the more that you recognize what God has done for you, the more meaningful and complex and deep your gratitude can become. But also just remember what the verse said, because it's not an intellectual thing. This isn't just, oh, I need to recognize it and think more about it. It's not just your thoughts. Because the verse doesn't say, oh, just think. It says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. You know, you can know your Bible forward and backward. You can read it in Hebrew and Greek. You can know all the systematic theology books. You can understand literary motifs and how they're all put together to make your Bible beautiful. You can have all this knowledge. You can fill libraries with it and be as ungrounded in your faith and as ungrateful as anybody else. You have to walk with Jesus. You have to be grounded in your faith, and you have to be walking with him. And that's part of why we did the series, was so that we could be reminded of those things that we should be grounded in and that we should be walking in, that we should be living in those things. And if you start to do that more and more, as you do it, you'll start to recognize that you have more and more reasons to be grateful to God. And those dams will start to break down. I mean, let's just think about the different areas of our lives that we talked about the past 11 weeks. I'm thinking of three big ones. First, we talked about ourselves just as created beings. Think of that. You didn't make yourself. God created you. There's a God in heaven, and he made everything. And he made you. That we're created beings. And that God in heaven, he saw fit to reveal himself to you. You couldn't have figured him out. You couldn't have solved the problem. You could know he was there maybe, but you couldn't figure out what he was like. He decided to show himself to you. He gave you the Bible. And he showed you his wonderful character. He showed you who he is, what he's like, in the Bible. Just as a created being, that should be enough. That should blow your mind that you were made by God and that he gives you life and breath and all things, and you can't even do that for yourself, and he does that for you. That should be enough to make you grateful. Actually, that should be enough to make you sing with the heavenly host, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." He created you. Just as a creature, you should give thanks. But then we saw that we're not just any old creatures, are we? No, we're a little different from the rest. You see, we saw that even though we didn't deserve it, or we didn't earn it, or we didn't do anything to make it possible, God decided to make human beings in his image, according to his likeness, so that they could rule on earth under him. And God decided to make human beings, these beings that are made out of the material and the immaterial, so that they could fellowship with him on this earth. God made you special as a human being. You did nothing to deserve that. Nobody did anything to deserve that. He gave that to us freely. And man, that makes me want to talk with David and say, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have crowned him with glory." I'm sorry. "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Amen. So we're created by a God who's revealed himself to us. We're created in his image and his likeness, so that we can have a purpose and a mission on this earth in fellowship with that God. We have so much to give thanks for just there. But we didn't stop there, did we? No, we saw that that same God redeems us, that we can give thanks not just as creatures, but as redeemed saints of God because of what he's done for us. We sinned against God. And instead of just saying, "Well, I'll start over with some other creatures," he stayed with his plan with us. And he decided to redeem us back to himself. And how'd he do it? Well, you didn't do it for yourself, did you? His son came. Jesus Christ, in whom all the Godhead dwells in bodily form. Jesus Christ came, and he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again from the dead so that he could beat sin and death and the devil and give you life, real eternal life. And not just a new life here that's metaphorical, not just a turning over of a new leaf or I'm starting to live a little different, but actually change you from the inside out through the power of his Holy Spirit. He came to redeem you. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We depend completely on him for it. And it's a complete gift of grace. A gift of grace that we receive only by repenting and putting our faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ came to redeem sinners. And once you're redeemed, and you know that you didn't deserve it, you didn't earn it, and it was a gift from him, and you depend on him completely for it, then you want to sing, don't you? I mean, doesn't that? It makes you want to join the heavenly chorus and say that he's worthy, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God for by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. He's worthy of it. So we see we have reason to be grateful because we're created beings. We have reason to be grateful because we're created beings who have been chosen for something beautiful and special out of all of the created beings. We have reasons to be grateful because we're redeemed beings. We're the redeemed saints of God. And he's not done. He's not done. Because us redeemed saints of God here on this earth, we have reasons to be grateful right here, right now, for what's going on in our lives. Because he's given you everything you need for life and godliness. He's provided it for you. You didn't earn it. You didn't make it happen. You didn't do it for yourself. He gave you it all. He gave you your Bible so that you could learn and grow. He gave you the Holy Spirit to teach you and to lead you. He gave you your great high priest who prays for you. He gave you access to the throne of grace. Think about that. You have access to God. You can go to him and confess your sins and be forgiven and cleansed. You can go to him with your prayers and your supplications and ask him for provision and for help and for healing and for more. He's opened up the throne of grace to you. He has provided you with the church. He's given you the church of God, of which Jesus Christ is the head. He's provided you with your brothers and sisters here in this church to help encourage you, to help you grow, to help you learn more and more about who he is and what he's like, to help you enter into a deeper relationship with him. He's given the church the symbols of baptism, of the Lord's table, of the covered and the uncovered head. He's given the church these symbols that continue to teach us and lead us into truth and to give us places where we can be reminded of who he is and what he's like and what he's done for our redemption. And then he gave each and every single one of you a gift. He gave each and every single one of you a gift. So that I need you and you need me. And I need each and every single one of you. And you all need each other too. And God's the source of those gifts. He's the one who gave them to us. So that we can be built up, so that we can enter in, so that we can know the love of Jesus, which surpasses understanding. We need each other for all of it. And he gave us everything we need. All we need to do is participate in it. All we need to do is show up and participate. And he blesses us, not because we deserve it, not because we earned it, but because he loves us and has given it to us. Oh, man. And if we think about that, we want to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You see, if you're going to kick down the dams that are in your heart, you need to get back to the basics and start living them out. You need to go back to being a creature and say, this is real, I'm a creature, and live like a creature. And thank God that he provides for you as a creature. You need to go back to being a human being and think of yourself as a human being created by God in his image and thank God for the special place he's given you in all of creation. You need to go back to being a redeemed saint of God and enter into the fullness of what that means and thank him for it. You need to go and think about what he's given you for life on this earth right now. I mean, each and every single thing I said just in one word could be a whole series of sermons because that's how great the blessing is. That's how many blessings we have. And when you see these dams come in your heart, you need to line them up. You need to count it up, and you need to see all the blessings that God has given you in your life. So when you see pride sneak in or worry come in, when you see selfishness, whether it's coming as worldliness or as grumbling, or when you're tempted to give somebody else the credit, go back and look at what God has done. Remember what he's given you. And you'll see those dams start falling down in your heart and in your life. And if they're down right now, be on guard against those hindrances. Be on guard. And so this week, believers, I want us to think about not just Thanksgiving. Actually, I forgot it was Thanksgiving when I was starting to work on this message, to be honest. I forgot all about it. I want us to think about our God each and every day. And I want us to think about the things we have to be grateful for and to give him thanks for them. But I want us to be really careful, because what can happen is we'll say, oh, I'll do that. I'll spend some time in the morning giving thanks to God. Or at night before I go to bed, I'll spend some time giving thanks to God. And that's good. You should do that. But brothers and sisters, why not give thanks to him as they come? As they roll in. As they come to your mind, as you think about them. Think about it. You're hungry and you're going to go eat. So give thanks for the provision of food. You're tired and you're going to go to sleep. So give thanks for the provision of sleep. You are going through a hard time and it's really rough, but you know he's with you. So give thanks to him for being with you through the hard time. As the blessings come, give thanks for the blessings. When you fall into sin and you confess it and he forgives you, give him thanks for his forgiveness right then and there. As the blessings come, give thanks. When you're faced with temptation and you remember that he's changed you from the inside out and you don't have to do that no more, and you overcome, give him thanks right then and there. And when you get sick of this world and its ways and you just can't wait to leave, give him thanks that you know that Jesus who died will be satisfied and heaven and earth will be made one, that there is something better coming. Yes. You have so many reasons to give thanks. And church, when we come back next Sunday, if he doesn't come back first, give thanks on your way here for your brothers and sisters. Give thanks for the table and the prayers. Give thanks for the word of God. Give thanks for each other. I thank God for the saints at Fairhaven Bible Chapel. Give thanks for each other. We have so much to be grateful for. So this week, line up the blessings, count them up, and give thanks to Jesus for all that he has done. Father, we want to ask that this week, not just on Thursday, that you would be moving in our hearts, that this state of being of gratitude would become our state of being. And Lord, I pray for anybody here who is not living a life of gratitude, that you would help them recognize all that you've done and bring them to a place where they can be grateful for what you've done. And Lord, I pray for all of us, no matter where we are, if we're overflowing or we're just half full with gratitude, Lord, I pray for all of us this week that we would get on our knees and give thanks to you and spend time thinking about all that you've done for us. Father, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters here who are already overflowing. I just ask, Lord, that they would be on guard against anything that would stop that flow. I pray that they would check those thoughts and those actions at the door, and that they would remember all that you've done for them and keep living a life that's overflowing in gratitude. Lord Jesus, you deserve glory and honor and praise, and you deserve our gratitude. And we ask that our hearts would give it to you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.